I don't know whether you're aware or not, but there was some kind of protest outside my offices here last Friday over comments I made to a caller named Carol back on the 19th of March. Those protesters wanted to hand me a petition with something like 40,000 signatures demanding I apologise for my comments, neglecting to know that I had already apologised for my comments and apologised to Carol publicly. And she said it wasn't necessary. But I was very happy to speak with these people if they'd gone to all the trouble to collect 40,000 signatures. But I didn't know they were coming anyway. One of the people to attend the protest was a Dr. Kathy Kesselman, who is the president of Adults Surviving Child Abuse. And I believe we have Dr. Kathy Kesselman, and I hope I'm pronouncing the name correctly, on the line. Am I calling you by the correct name, Doctor?
Yes, you are, John, and look, thank you for the opportunity to come on the show and talk about this really important issue.
Yes, well, it's a very, very important issue, but I don't quite understand. I think it got a little bit out of proportion.
Well, I think when you have an issue of sexual assault that affects one in five women and one in 20 men in Australia, it's a very major issue of public concern, and the fact that there were 38,000 signatures on that petition would attest to that fact.
Yes, well, I suppose so, although I know having conducted petitions before, it's not very hard to get people to sign a petition. But all that aside, it doesn't matter. Are you a victim of child abuse?
Yes, I'm a survivor of child abuse, and it certainly impacted me in many, many ways for a long period of my life. And a major issue I'd like to raise is how long it took me to overcome that sense of shame and self-blame. And that's why it's so important that victims are told that they're never to blame. The responsibility for this crime has to be on the perpetrators and those who cover up the crimes and are complicit in covering up the crimes.
Yes. Did you actually hear the broadcast?
I've heard the replay of the broadcast, yes.
Yeah, because at the time that I asked the question, which seems to have been offensive, Carol had told me that she had suffered sexual abuse from the age of 6 to 16, and I assumed that we were at the upper end of that scale when we were discussing in some detail what she'd put up with. Now, I wouldn't have thought that asking a question like that, and the question was, I think, were you being provocative, would not be an unreasonable question to ask a 16-year-old girl.
Well, I think, again, you know, as I say, victims are never to blame, and it's not about what a person does or doesn't do or wears or doesn't wear.
I accept that.
The responsibility is for the perpetrator. So I think just making the suggestion that someone's provocative or talking about their appearance is suggesting that the victim has had in some part a responsibility for what happened to them, and that's never the case.
Yeah, well, I would be aware that that's never the case, and probably it was a bad choice of words when I used the word provocative, and I think that was the word I used, and it was certainly a bad choice of words. But when you're doing an interview, such as the interview I'm doing now, you don't know what comes up, and even though I'm very experienced, having been doing it for about 60 years, sometimes you're caught a little bit off guard. She caught me off guard because yes. I didn't know whether she really meant it or not, and it was only later in the interview that I realised that she was quite serious. And I also must say this to you, she did call back on the programme and go on the air to say that the question I asked didn't worry her at all.
Yes, and I suppose that, you know, I can't obviously comment on the particular case, on Carol's case. However, the impacts of complex trauma are such that, you know, people have various defences in ways they've coped both as a child and as an adult. And for a long time I was actually disconnected from the impacts of my abuse as well, and I would have denied that it was affecting me, and yet it was affecting me profoundly in so many aspects of my functioning. So I think, you know, the mistake you've made, John, is a very common one. And, you know, I really admire the fact that you've given us the opportunity and come and sort of educate the community around this issue, that, you know, we all need to be sensitive to the impacts of sexual assault and work as a community together to support those who've been victims, because victims can certainly find pathways to recovery. That's why we have a Royal Commission now. We're looking at, you know, how we can protect children better in this country and how we can support survivors so that they find justice and the health and well-being that they deserve.
Yeah. Well, Doctor, you know, I know you've got better things to do than to listen to my program every day, but were you able to even listen to it occasionally, I think you would be aware that I'm one of the biggest advocates for the Royal Commission into Sexual Abuse, because I've made that very, very clear. I find sexual abuse, particularly of young people, absolutely abhorrent.
Yes, well, it is abhorrent, and it's great to see that you're speaking out in that way and using your, you know, very public profile to give positive messages to the community. And again, I thank you for giving me the opportunity of just making those points clear.
Doctor, I can tell you that this radio program is available to you any time you feel inclined to pass on a message that is going to help children that are being abused, any time at all.
Really appreciate that. That's fantastic. Thank you.
Are you part of this Get Up and Destroy the Joint thing?
No, look, we you know, they approached us. I mean, we're obviously an organisation that works with adult survivors of child abuse every day, and so we know the impacts of this on people's lives. But what we're seeing here is the community coming together around an issue of major concern and wanting to really create change, and so therefore very happy to support that process.
Yeah, I can detect that the size of the problem is greater than a lot of people would think.
Well, that's right. I mean, there's long been a tendency of our community, and all communities globally actually, to really minimise this issue. I mean, it makes people uncomfortable, the sheer conversation makes people uncomfortable, but let me say it's far more than uncomfortable being the victim and having to struggle with that shame and the blame and work through your issues so that you can regain a sense of self and a sense of self-confidence and get on with your life as every person deserves. It takes a long time, and it takes a community also that understands and is there to be supportive in the process. It's not just a case of simply getting on with it and getting over it. It's a case of coming to terms with it and having then that trauma as part of your history rather than ruling your everyday.
Yeah, look, I really don't want to talk too much about your personal experience, because I can imagine it's still uncomfortable for you to even discuss it. It must be something that is more prevalent in the community than we realise, and it must also be something that people want to brush under the carpet.
Look, it's a secret and silent crime, and as I say, there's a lot of stigma and taboo, and what we've seen certainly in institutions, which is why we're having a Royal Commission, is that people would rather prioritise the institutions and the hierarchy of the institutions rather than the needs of survivors. And it's time for us as communities to turn that around, that we need to work together to protect children and look at what those impediments are in us being receptive to victims and survivors, understanding the process that people have to go through to find some sense of recovery and supporting them in that process.
30 seconds.
You used the expression to shame and blame. Did you ever blame yourself?
Yes, I blame myself for a long, long time.
15 seconds.
That was a very big part of my therapy, to overcome that sense of shame and self-blame.
Why did you blame yourself?
Because that's very often, you know, when you're abused, you take on a message that you're worthless, that you're bad, it's somehow your fault. In my case, you know, that was also reinforced by the perpetrators. And that's often the case, that the children, you know, are manipulated into believing it's somehow their fault, that they won't be believed if they'll disclose. I mean, that they'll break the family up. There are all sorts of ways for silencing victims.
Yeah, and I'm led to believe that the most frequently used is, well, you can go and tell them, but they won't believe you.
Yes, well, that's right, exactly. And you know, let's face it, society has been somewhat complicit in that. We've seen that, you know, in all sorts of institutions in which victims have not been believed. Their allegations have been dismissed, and the alleged perpetrators have been moved around from place to place. only to perpetrate further crime.
Yeah, when we, and I know what you're referring to when you say that perpetrators have been moved around, you must have somewhere in your mind the Catholic Church. Why do you think that the Catholic Church always seems to float to the top these accusations are around?
Look, I don't think the Catholic Church is the only institution who's been responsible in that regard.
Certainly not.
A number of institutions. But it does have a particularly bad record in doing that.
I wonder why.
Look, I mean, I can only surmise, but it's certainly, rather than follow external processes, it's followed its own processes of canon law. It's kept a very closed hierarchical community. It's not been open and transparent. And I think it's done that, particularly well or badly, depending on, how you put it. Certainly what we see now with Pope Francis, he's only just now made a very public announcement about the need for openness and transparency and full cooperation in addressing the processes and procedures that keep children safe, that mean when someone discloses that the allegations go to the right secular authority for the proper processes to take place. And that survivors and victims are supported to get the therapeutic support they need, and also accountability and justice for those who perpetrated the crimes and been complicit in covering them up.
That's right. I've probably been a bit tough on the Catholic Church on some occasions, but I believe that if a priest is told of a crime committed, that he is perverting the course of justice if he doesn't pass it on to the right authorities.
Yes, look, I mean, I certainly believe that, we have to look at what are the priorities here. And if a crime has been committed, and a crime against a child, you would think that the priority is the well-being of that child.
Certainly should be. Now, Doctor, is there a line or an organisation that young people who feel that they are being abused or have been abused can contact?
Yes, I mean, for our organisation looks after adult survivors of child abuse, and we have a line, which is 1-300-657-380. Bravehearts is an organisation to which young people can call. I don't have the number at my fingertips, but... That they're there to provide support to young people.
Okay, but your number is
1-300-657-380, and the website is asca.org.au.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time. It's been enlightening to talk to you. And again, let me say, forgive me for my innocence, perhaps, in the severity of these problems. And I'm sure that many other people feel exactly the same way, that they really didn't know the extent of the problem. Now that I am better informed and better educated, let me again say to you that any time I can do anything for you or your organisation in relation to these problems, all you've got to do is call.
No, look, I really appreciate the opportunity and your receptive ear, and thank you.
Okay, thank you, Doctor, very much indeed.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.